Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
It seems like a long time ago now, honestly, when the Red Sox were forever the perpetual redheaded stepchild to the Yankees. In fact, there are lots of young people probably listening to this show right now on their way to work in the morning that don't even think about or remember the idea of the curse of the Bambino. Because it is wild to think about how the Red Sox have basically erased nearly 100 years of futility in the last 15 years or so. Boston, you know, as a city for a very long time was known as a city that could never win championships. And then you look at the rise of the Red Sox, the rise of Brady and Belichick with the Patriots. The Boston Bruins have won a title. Now, to be fair, the Celtics had always been very good, at least in the last 50 years. They had been the one kind of exception to the rule of futility in New England. Two cities in America, I think, right now that are the center of the American sporting landscape. One is Boston, and the other is L.A., with the Rams and the Chargers both being pretty decent now as NFL teams, with LeBron going to the Lakers, and certainly with the Dodgers advancing to the NLCS. Maybe what we really need is a head-to-head between Boston and L.A. to see which city is the king of the American sports landscape. Whether or not the Red Sox can eliminate the Houston Astros, the defending World Series champs, and whether or not the Milwaukee Brewers, who haven't been to the World Series since, I don't believe, 1982, could get past the Dodgers in their series. So those are the four teams that are remaining in your Major League Baseball playoffs. What a good and exciting series that would be if you could get either Houston against L.A. for a rematch, or if you could get the Red Sox against the Dodgers in a pretty epic contest.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There is a killer tiger. All of this is 100% true. I am not making up any of these details. I am reading from the New York Times. We have talked about this killer tiger in India. It's actually a female tiger, a tigress. It has killed 13 people. It also has two cubs. So it has two offspring. They cannot catch this tiger no matter what. They have deployed hundreds of soldiers. This is directly from the article. They have thrown just about everything they have at the tigress. Hundreds of foot soldiers to comb the jungle, bulldozers to clear it, sharpshooters, jeeps, camera traps, a thermal imagery drone, and five Indian elephants, hoping to surround the tiger and be able to catch it. Now, the irony here is that the tigress has not been seen even by all these people, and that the elephant that they brought in to help, one of the elephants that they brought in to help catch the tiger, escaped from their tiger catching camp and killed people in that area of India itself. So this has turned into a calamity. And there are lots of different tiger experts that are quoted in this article, including Nawab Shafat Ali Khan, one of India's most famous hunters, who has killed dozens of elephants and tigers that went in his words, rogue. And here are his quotes about the tigress. "It's going to be impossible to tranquilize her. She has learned from all these botched capture operations. We've made her very smart. Brilliant, actually." He said it was highly unusual for a tiger to turn into a man-eater, but there is little traditional prey like deer left. Once a tiger encounters a person and kills, it may develop a taste for human flesh, which this tiger-killing expert says is sweeter than other animal meat, because of all the ginger, salt, and spices people consume. He said this tiger has learned how easy it is to kill a person and that the tigress has now gone, quote, psycho. These are all real quotes about the man-eating tiger. I can't tell you anything. I am just totally in love with this story other than the fact that we're talking about a serial-killing tiger, all right? So you may be wondering to yourself, well, how does this story end? They have determined that the new plan, I swear to God this is true, the new plan to catch the tiger is a bottle of Calvin Klein Obsession cologne. Now, I want you to focus with me here. So far, to try to get this man-eating tiger, they have hundreds of soldiers. They have bulldozers, sharpshooters, jeeps, camera traps, a thermal imagery drone, and five Indian elephants, along with my man here, Nawab Shafat Ali Khan, who is India's most famous tiger killer. That's what an amazing title to have. This is there are 1.3 billion people who live in India. This guy, Nawab Shafat Ali Khan, is the most famous tiger hunter in all of India. By the way, there are 2,500 tigers in all of India, all right? They are now going to deploy Obsession Cologne because obsession is irresistible to cats. Quote, whatever it is in that obsession, cats love it. A cat expert in Australia told Scientific American, they just seem to be in absolute heaven. Call it outside the box thinking or just pure desperation. India, their new plan to catch the man-eating tiger is to spray Obsession Cologne, one bottle. Maybe they need more Obsession Cologne. What are the odds this is going to be successful? And is this the most amazing Animal Thunderdome story of all time, Danny G?
Yes, this is the most amazing story we've had since we started this a couple of years ago. I also read here, they call her T1. It says in the past few months, T1 has been spotted only a few times. As you mentioned, barely anyone have actually seen her. For just a few seconds, two rangers saw her. They sacrificed several horses to draw her out. She ripped into them, ate them fast, and then vanished. The rangers managed to dart her once, but the dart didn't stick, and she slipped away.
I got to be honest with you. Maybe stop trying to tranquilize the man-eating tiger. I don't know about you guys, but if a tiger has killed 13 people, I don't know why you're trying to keep the tiger alive. Maybe shoot the tiger. Also, can you imagine the outrage if in America they just gave over a couple of horses to the tiger to try to trap her?
Yeah, and just to see what this thing looks like. Ah, let's sacrifice two of our horses here.
By the way, this is what I need you guys to do. You guys don't do very much. I don't think you work that hard. I want someone on this staff to get me Nawab Shafat Ali Khan, the most famous tiger hunter in all of India. I want him on this show.
That'll be easy.
I'm guessing that he speaks English because they didn't say that they translated this these quotes from, you know, Gujarati or whatever language he's speaking in India. So I want, this is your goal, all right? This is the mission. Whoever is able to get Nawab Shafat Ali Khan, any one of you right now, any one of the three of you in L.A. or Dub back in Nashville, whoever is able to get Nawab Shafat Ali Khan, the most famous tiger hunter in all of India, on our show will receive a handsome reward. It will be something more than Obsession Cologne. Not going to tell you what it's going to be, but you guys need to get to work. Somebody needs to track down Nawab Shafat Ali Khan. I want for an hour the most famous tiger hunter in all of India on this show to talk about tiger hunting. And by the way, if we get this dude, this tiger hunter, on for an hour on this show, it'll be the most listened to interview we have ever done in the history of the show. All right, so that is the goal. Get Nawab Shafat Ali Khan, yep, which is the most famous tiger hunter of all time. All right, odds that the Obsession Cologne does the deal here and we catch the tiger.
Well, as you mentioned last hour, it has civetone in it, which is what draws cats to the scent. Kate Moss introduced Obsession in 1985, this says right here. Obsession, Clay, is listed as peach, mandarin orange, sandalwood, oak moss, a sensual and alluring scent center.
I had Obsession. Did anybody else have a bottle of Obsession cologne at any point? What? In high school? I had a bottle of Obsession cologne.
Calvin Klein needs to add to their description and a T1 Tigress trapper.
By the way, what kind of awful luck would it be if you had just gone to India and you were like, hey, I'm going to go, you know, like tour India.
Mac
and
on you were chicks like, there.
And you took your Obsession cologne and you got eaten by a tiger and everybody's like, I don't know why he picked that guy. And it's just because you had on the Obsession cologne. You talk about a bad beat. That would be really tough luck. Like you're on some sort of Indian safari. Everybody's riding along on the elephants. And then out of nowhere, you're just like sitting up on top of the elephant and this tiger just comes flying out of the woods and takes you out. And people are like, I don't know why he picked that guy. And it turns out it's just because you had Obsession cologne on. That's the definition of a bad beat. I don't know that you can even buy Obsession cologne anymore. And by the way, this is the most pub that Obsession cologne has gotten, I bet, since like 1991. I didn't even know they still made it. I swear, we might still have it. My, you know how like when you leave your house and like you go to college, your stuff that stays in the house, sometimes your dad gets it. It wouldn't stun me, I swear to God right now, if my old Obsession bottle of cologne is still in my dad's like medicine cabinet, because I definitely did not use all that Obsession cologne. And there's no doubt my dad at any moment might just get killed by a tiger walking around in Nashville, Tennessee. Never know. Never know at all. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines. All right, let me. So, yes or no on whether the Obsession cologne will be successful, Danny G.
No. This Tigress seems way too smart with everything they've tried so far. I don't even think this is going to work.
Roberto, successful or no?
No, negative.
Is this the most remarkable Animal Thunderdome story of all time?
Sounds fake. Yeah, so good. It sounds fake.
It's so good. I mean, it's a huge article, thousands of words in the New York Times. It's such an incredible article. Eddie Garcia, will it work?
I have to agree with everyone. The consensus, it is not going to work.
Dub, do you think, first of all, Dub, credit to Dub, because yesterday I just happened out of nowhere, because I've been wondering how this tiger hunt was going to go. I just happened to ask, well, hey, what's been going on with the tiger hunt? Somebody needs to set up Google alerts to make sure we're not missing any of these stories about the man-eating tiger hunt. And this story had just come out yesterday, and lo and behold, I just opened the newspaper and saw it in there. Dub, does this work, this Obsession cologne plan?
I believe in Calvin Klein, honestly, and I think what they should do is just inject more Civitone into this cologne and just enhance that effect on this big cat.
That's not a bad idea. Here's the other question. One of my buddies who's listening to the show this morning just asked, why wouldn't you put as much Calvin Klein Obsession cologne as you possibly could? Like, one bottle is fine, but why wouldn't you get, like, a massive sprayer like they do when they're trying to combat? Yeah, just an area and just make it impossible for the tigress to not know that the Obsession cologne is out there.
Also, if India is willing to sacrifice a couple of good horses, why not take someone who's on death row out, just drench them in Civitone, and have them run across the brush field?
As like human bait?
Yeah.
That would be, by the way, another amazing part of this story. If they did take a condemned prisoner who was going to be killed, and they said they took volunteers in the prison, and they said, okay, we will give you 10,000 rupees or whatever, $10,000 in rupees, if you will be willing to risk yourself. And also, if the tiger doesn't kill you, you become free. Like, that would be a pretty amazing story, wouldn't it? If I were a prisoner, I'd be like, okay, I think I'll take those odds. Now, it'd be scary, but I think I would take those odds. All right, we're opening up the phone lines. Paul Pabst has called in from the Dan Patrick Show. Paul, is this the most crazy story you have ever heard? By the way, I hope that this radio show is never responsible for ever trying to kill a tiger, because we can't even put somebody on the radio when they dial our station. What happened there? All right.
Clay, it's Paul.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, you know, I feel bad for these horses. These horses are sitting there in a barn somewhere, wolfing down some hay, minding their own business, giving these kids rides on weekends or whatever horses do over there. And all of a sudden, some guy leads them in the middle of the field and is just slathering them with cologne, with Obsession. They're like, what? All right, so where are we going on? Big night out? Are they bringing over some ladies? Because, you know, you think, I got cologne on, it's going to be a pretty good night. Next thing you know, you're bait.
Did you ever have Obsession cologne?
You know, I think I was more of a polo guy back in the South Side Chicago.
That's right. That was honestly the polo and the obsession cologne. If you were alive in like 1990 to 1993, mm-hmm. that was right. the wheelhouse. Everybody either had the polo. It might have been like 88 to 93 where polo and obsession cologne. I bet if you looked at like a flowchart of cologne sales,
right.
like 1990, Polo and Obsession were doing like billions of dollars a year. I didn't even know they still make Polo.
I don't know, but if I remember, the Polo gift pack was like you got a Polo cologne, you got the Tommy Hilfiger shirt, you got jean shorts that were cuffed, and your hair was feathered. That's all I remember.
That was an amazing time. I don't know that many men who use cologne. Like, I only for like a 6 month period when I had my Obsession cologne did I actually use it. But I remember every guy was either on the team Polo or you were team Obsession. And there was like a 3 year period there where America in general was all in on cologne. Is it still like the men still regularly use cologne? Like, I think of it as like a really older man move.
Well, I guess it's kind of like that country club guy with the V-neck sweater. Those guys still wear cologne, but normal middle-class married guys like us, we don't need to put that out there anymore. I mean, if you wear cologne, I think your wife might be mad at you.
Or you're trying to cover up the fact that yeah. you were with a woman wearing perfume, which is still very common. What do you think about the odds of this tigress being caught by using Obsession cologne?
Well, like you said, if you want to do that thing with the prisoners, I think you've got a great TV show. But hey, I got to run right now because we just booked the Tiger Killer for hour two of the Dan Patrick Show.
I swear to God, if you guys get the Tiger Killer from India on, I'm firing everybody on this show.
You know, Dan's got a lot of pull. I mean, if there's a Tiger Killer out there to book, Dan's going to find a way for us to get him.
You guys had Drew Brees on yesterday. We had Petros Papadakis. So I'm just saying, if this show allows Dan Patrick to get the Tiger Killer, the Indian Tiger Killer on, you're all fired.
Yeah, we had Matt Stafford of the Lions book today, but we had to bump him for the Tiger Killer if he can get him for the 10-15 seconds.
Dan Patrick dunks on me and gets the Tiger Killer on before me. This is unacceptable for the show.
But in all fairness, Drew Brees sounded like he was barely waking up, like wiping sleepies out of his eyes when he was on the DP show.
That's the excuse I would make if I were you, too.
Yeah.
He wants to wake up with you? My wife doesn't want to wake up with me. I'm sure that he doesn't. But if they can, we got Petros Papadakis. They got Drew Brees. I'm just saying, there's a difference in the quality of the guest. I think Cowherd got Drew Brees too, didn't he?
Yeah, and Drew Brees sounded like he needed a nap when he was on with Cowherd.
I think Drew Brees did every other national radio show in the country. And if I swear to God, if I put on Dan Patrick or I put on Colin Cowherd and they got this Tiger Killer on, all of you are fired. So you better get to work here. Somebody's going to get a massive reward. It's going to be like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Everybody else is going to be jealous. The rest of you are going to get fired.
It's going to be an autographed copy of Clay's book.
That's invaluable, by the way. All right, open phone lines. We have got to do the anonymous mailbag. We will also take your calls on whether or not you think the Obsession cologne is going to catch the tigress that has killed 13 people. And a not smart idea out here is trying to tranquilize a man-eating tiger. They said they saw the tiger and they tried to trank dart it. I'm sorry, if you can trank dart a tiger, you could have shot it too. Why are you trying to save the tiger's life when it's already killed 13 people? This is insanity. You have to make the smart decision, and that would be not tranking the tiger.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Going to get a bunch of the calls in here. Ralph in Coral Springs, what you got for me?
Hey, what's up, Clay? How you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
Hey, Clay, I was listening this morning, and yeah, you just brought up the Dracar. I'm born and raised in the Bronx. Nobody wore polo. The polo was for those preppy guys with the sculptured haircuts and the long necks and the polo shirts. I mean, Dracar was that was the thing. Dracar and Obsession. And I have a bottle of Obsession at home.
When's the last time you put on Obsession?
2 weeks ago before I went to the Panthers game.
Good call from Ralph in Coral Springs. I'm trying to get in everybody here before we go to break. And again, maybe a blockbuster start of hour three. That's my tease right now. Mike, let's see, who's up next? Mike in Indiana. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, Clay, I know you were wondering earlier, and I did a little Google research for you. You can still buy Calvin Klein Obsession. I know I saw it at Walmart, Kohl's, and Macy's.
Interesting. So it's still available out there. Thanks for the update. There you go. If you need a cougar, go buy your Obsession cologne. Daniel in Fresno. What's up, Daniel?
I just wanted to say that I think your radio show should do a drive where you're collecting like used or recently old bottles of Obsession cologne and then send them over to India as an effort to try to capture the tiger.
It's not a bad idea. A lot of extra. Again, it would not shock me at all if my bottle from 1990 Obsession cologne is still in my dad's closet in his medicine cabinet. So when I left home, it wouldn't surprise me if we still have it. We did never finish it. Takes a long time to get through one of those bottles. Okay, we got Dave in L.A. He's a former perfume model. Is this real, Dave? You were a former perfume model?
Okay, so during Christmas time and all that, we would sit there and we would spray ourselves, and the mothers or girlfriends that would buy it for their family or loved ones, we were just there just as a prop.
You were a salesman. You weren't a perfume model. Like, you would just stand with a bottle and try to convince women to buy your perfume.
Right, but that's what they called it, perfume model.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, anyways, we were idiots at the time, so just throw us all in an airplane, send us over there to India, and we'll just attract the damn tigers.
When you were doing perfume modeling, what was the peak of the perfume model industry? Like, what was the best scent, the one that drove the ladies wild in the store? And which store did you work in?
I worked in Macy's and Nordstrom.
Okay, you worked in both. What was the perfume that drove everybody crazy then?
Man. Pierre Cardin was huge, but Obsession was the biggest by far.
All right, thank you for the call. All right, we have, I see. What do we got here, Danny G?
So after spending a half hour calling India, I have Nawab's manager on the line.
This is the greatest Indian killer of all time,
yes,
as a PR person?
Yes, he's going to help us set the interview up for tomorrow.
So are we going to talk to her live on the radio? Or
well, it's a he, he's on the line right now. Can you say hi to Clay Travis?
Hi, Zach.
We're gonna have Nawab on tomorrow.
Sir, I'm not sure about it, sir. I'll just forward the message. Once it gets back to me, I'll just inform you. I'll send the details in the email itself.
Oh, this is big.
Yes.
All right. This is big potentially.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Cue the music, boys. It's time for the anonymous mailbag.
Anonymous mailbag!
If it was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
All right, who's up first? Where is Dub?
Atlanta, Georgia, up first.
Atlanta, GA, up first. What you got for me?
Hey, Clay. So today is my girlfriend's and I 4-year anniversary. We dated 2 years in college, and now it's been 2 years out of college in the working world. But I think I'm still in the college mindset. I'm still farting in bathtubs and laughing my ass off. So based on this and any other questions you have, when do you think I'll be ready to pull the trigger and really settle down?
Are you 24, 25?
Yeah, 4.
Is she the same age?
Yes. She's actually 3 days older, so she is a cougar.
She's the cougar in your relationship. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you ever contemplated what your wedding would be like?
I know there'd be a lot of drinking, but and dancing, but that's really
all right.
About it.
That is the perfect male answer. All right. So he's been dating for 4 years. Every woman on the planet, starting at the age of 5, has thought about what it would be like to be a bride. That answer was perfect. Women don't understand that men have given virtually no thought to our wedding day, even including and up to when we have been in a relationship for 4 years. When I got married, do you know what I did? Do you know what decisions that I made? Zero. Not one single decision did I make about my wedding. Zero. Not one element of it. My wife handled everything. My advice to men in general, don't get involved in your wedding. Don't pretend to get involved in your wedding. Don't even contemplate it, because your opinion does not actually matter. Your role, if you choose to accept it, should be to give long, deep, contemplative stares every time your opinion is asked, and then you reinforce the decision that your fiance has already made. I'm telling you this as a man who is trying to make your life better. Every time you are asked a question about your wedding, you think about it for a long time, and then you reinforce whatever decision your fiance has already made. Whatever you do, do not disagree on anything. When she says she wants your opinion, she actually does not want your opinion. She wants you to endorse the opinion that she has already made, and she wants you to believe and further buttress her already decisions that she has made. As for when you think you're going to be ready for marriage, probably never. As for when your girlfriend was ready for marriage, a month after you started dating. That's the truth. You've been dating for 4 years. She already knows what she wants to name every kid. She already knows what part of the city she wants to live in. She knows what elementary school she wants your kids to go to. She knows what type of suit she wants you to wear at the wedding. She knows where she wants to book it. She's already discussed all that with her mother. This has all happened. You don't know it, but I'm telling you the truth. All of it, 100% true. When you decide to propose to her, if you do, within 30 minutes of proposing to her, she and her mom will already have reserved the exact location of where the wedding is going to take place. That ain't because they just decided in 30 minutes. It's because they've already been talking about it for 2 years. Who's up next?
Akron, Ohio.
Akron, Ohio. Maybe it's LeBron.
Hey, what's up, Clay?
Hey, well, how's it going?
Hey, so I got an issue here. Wife has a friend. We've, you know, like couples, we hang out periodically. Beginning of the summer, an issue came up with me and her friend where, you know, there's, you know, something happened. I stopped it from going too far, but still things happened.
All right, so let me pause you here. When you say you stopped it from going too far, what actually happened?
She took care of business on, you know, me.
So she serviced you. Okay, let me just say this. That ain't stopping it from happening, all right? Let me just, before we go any further, when you say I stopped it from happening, your girlfriend, is it your wife or your girlfriend?
Wife.
Oh. You are up the creek without a paddle, my man.
Yeah,
that is not
exactly
a good defense.
You're right.
We didn't have actual sex. We only had oral sex. Ain't a defense that's going to work very well with your wife. All right. So what are you suggesting here? Like, what's the it's your wife's friend?
Well, since this has happened, we've hung out with them more than ever, and now they're talking about planning a vacation together in the next spring, and I'm doing everything I can do. We're saying I can't get off work, blah, blah, blah. And it's just persistently, you're wanting to hang out now. And I've talked to her on the side, just, you know, a little, like, say, hey, this is not going to happen.
Is she married too?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You have created a mushroom cloud of disaster here. I don't even know what you can do to extract yourself from this mess. I don't think you can admit to it, because I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is a cataclysm. I think this is like a neutron bomb in your relationship. I am seriously at a loss, because it's her good girlfriend that you have cheated with, and she's also married. And now they want to go on vacation with the two, with the double couples. I almost feel like your only play at this point is to try to turn everything into an orgy. Some of you out there right now listening may say that's a ridiculous idea. I feel like if you just turn the vacation into an orgy, it's likely the two women would get jealous of each other and they would stop being friends. And then the relationship is over. It might sound crazy, but if I were you, I would go on the vacation And I would suggest in some way with alcohol involved that everybody just have an orgy. Because then you kind of cleanse the cheating in some way because it's evident that you've had a sexual relationship. If your wife is opposed to the orgy, then you can be like, hey, you know what? I agree with you. I don't think we can be friends with this couple anymore. And then any suggestion that you did have a relationship with this girl beforehand, you can be like, no, she's just saying that because she's angry about the fact that we didn't want to have an orgy with them. That's assuming you want to preserve the marriage that you have right now. I think, honestly, that's a genius way to get yourself out of the trap that you have laid for yourself. Again, I'm the King Solomon. Most people wouldn't come up with a plan that devious. I think it just might work. Who's up next?
We got Virginia up next.
Going to Virginia, what we got?
Hey, how you doing? Here's my dilemma. I can either go to Game 4 of Boston, or I can go to Game 4 of the World Series. Now, I'm a diehard Red Sox fan.
ALCS. Hold on. Let me stop you right here. Pause. Game 4 of the ALCS, which will be in Fenway, I'm guessing, against who's playing there? The Houston Astros. Or you can go to Game 4 of the World Series if the Red Sox make it.
No, either way, we got Game 4, but I have to pick because my buddy gets the other ticket, but I get to get the first choice.
So you're a diehard Red Sox fan, and so you would be guaranteed able to go see the Red Sox play Game 4. Is that in Fenway or is it in Houston? Do we know yet? We know, right?
Fenway.
All right, it's in Fenway.
No, Game 4 is Houston.
Okay, it's in Houston. All right, so Game 4 will be in Houston. Or you can wait on the World Series not knowing who is playing or where the game is going to be played and potentially be there.
Right.
Okay. That's a good question, and thanks for your dog for saying hi as well. I think you got to go to Game 4 with your favorite team because here's the way you have to break this down. The Red Sox have the best record in all of baseball, right? And I don't know, do they still do that stupid thing in the All-Star game where whoever wins the All-Star game gets home field?
No,
they
still do best record now.
Now it's best record, right? So you know that Game 4 is not going to be in Fenway either because the Red Sox are going to open with the first two games in Fenway if they advance to the World Series. So you would be either doing Game 4 in Dodger Stadium, which could be fun, or you'd be doing Game 4 with the Brewers, but it might not be Game 4 with your favorite team. It'll either be the Astros or the Red Sox playing in either Milwaukee or potentially in L.A. I think the play here is easy. If it were in Fenway, I think it would be a no-brainer. But you're going to have to go down to Houston. I think you go see your favorite team play instead of rolling the dice that your favorite team's going to make the World Series. I don't think that's a really that difficult of a call. And the only thing I would say as a caveat there is if you have been to the ALCS before, and you have never seen a World Series game, then I think you might say, okay, well, you know what? I'd rather go see a World Series game, even if my favorite team is not playing, just so you can check going to a World Series game off the bucket list. And look, a World Series game in any of those other locations would be fine. But to me, you know the AL is going to be hosting Game 1 and 2. So your Game 4 would either be in Milwaukee or L.A., and as much fun as it would be to go to Game 4, it might be Milwaukee against the Astros, and you wouldn't care at all about that game. I think it's better to have a rooting interest. I would go to Game 4 of the ALCS. Who's up next?
Charleston, West Virginia.
Charleston, West Virginia. What you got for me?
Hey, Clay. Love the show. Hey, question I have. I've got a 23-year-old son that was in prison for 2 years. He got out 7 weeks ago, and he is working. He got a job within 2 weeks of getting out, but he still wants everything like handed to him. Where, I mean, I'm letting him drive the car and that till he gets his feet on the ground, but it's like every other day, it's like, hey, I need this. I want this. I want this. Where he's got as much or more spending cash than his whole family does because he's getting a paycheck each week with no bills.
Does he live at home right now?
He is living, yes, at home.
What did he go to prison for?
Armed robbery.
Armed robbery. All right, he's 21.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, so the first question is, do you feel like whatever led him to make the decision to end up in prison for armed robbery, Do you feel like he has got his life on the right path where he is not in danger of recidivism? In other words, of going back to prison? Is he still hanging out around the same people? Has he at least changed his life? And it's only been 7 weeks, but has he at least changed his decision-making that you can see in some way? He said he's got a job. He's living at home. Like, what have you seen that would suggest that he has changed his lifestyle?
Yeah, he's not hanging out with any of his buddies from 2 years ago. It was more of a mixed up with just the typical stuff that happens in West Virginia, where it's drugs. And
was he? Let me ask you this, and that's why I asked why he was in prison. Did he have any kind of drug addiction or any kind of issue with drugs? Because I know so many people now with the opioid epidemic and everything else have a connection or a downside associated with drugs. Did he have a drug background at all?
Yes, he did. And,
okay.
He's peed clean twice. He did go to probation, and then with his new job, and he's not hanging. Like I said, he's working 7 to 5 every day, where he's coming home tired. You know, and yeah, I don't want to say hang out, but you know, he's home and he goes to sleep at a decent 8:30 compared to 3, 4, or 5 years ago when it was not.
Yeah. All right. So look, I've got 3 boys. They're not the age that your boys are, but I think in this situation, and I live the DBAP lifestyle, right? This guy, your son, has come out of prison. He is working 7 to 5. He's only 7 weeks in. You're letting him use a car. You may be giving him financial support. I think you embrace him as deeply as you can embrace a member of your family. And so I would not be concerned about the financial or the tough love aspect of life right now. I think this kid, no telling what he saw when he was in prison for 2 years, no telling how rough that 2 years was. I think he needs you to embrace him a lot more than to give him a tough love approach. Now, every kid is different, right? I don't believe there's one size fits all parenting, but I think in this situation, you want to embrace him to such an extent that you do not in any way encourage him to pursue the people who led him down the wrong path in life. I would want this kid living at my house. I would want him driving my cars. I would want him involved in as many different family-related events as possible. You nearly lost him if he went away to prison for 2 years. If he's back, if he's living at home, if he's spending money, but he's spending it and living in a in an otherwise, you know, normal lifestyle, he's working 7 to 5 every day, I think things are moving in the right direction. I would just continue to embrace him as close to me as I possibly could if that were my son. That would be my advice. Who's up next?
We got Indiana up next.
Indiana, what you got for me?
Hey, Clay. So I started dating my wife 5 years ago when we were in college. And as a poor college student, her family always wanted to do family dinner down there. So I'd go down there for some good home-cooked food. And her mom's got family down in Tennessee, so she loves showing love with food. But on the way from Tennessee to Indiana, they miss Flavortown. So they think all the food is just salt and pepper, and that's good enough. So how do I let them know kindly that the food needs a little bit more flavoring, or what should I do here?
Yeah, that you never say anything for the rest of your life, and you eat that food and you smile. That's it. Like, here's the deal. I think a lot of bad relationships with, and thanks for the call, a lot of bad relationships with in-laws are predicated on, frankly, stupidity. You are going down to your in-laws who are showing you a ton of love, southern down-home cooking, fried foods, lots of, you know, like, I've been born and raised and marinated in southern food, right? You're from Indiana, might feel a little bit different to you culturally. You don't criticize your mother-in-law's cooking in any way imaginable. In fact, you do the exact opposite. Don't open your mouth in any kind of negative way. If there is something, some dish that you particularly like that you think would make the meal more complete, you can bring a dish down with you from Indiana to your mother-in-law's food, and then you can say, hey, this is what we love up in Indiana. You got an Indiana son-in-law now. Let's also add this dish to the overall spectacular serving that you are providing for us on a regular basis. You do not criticize a southern mother-in-law's cooking if you want to stay in her good graces. I'm sorry, bad idea. Don't ever consider it. Who's up next, Dub?
Greenville, Tennessee.
Greenville, Tennessee. What you got for me?
What's up, Clay? It's Cody. I don't care to get my name because it's not my issue. This is an epidemic sweeping across the country right now. Men are wearing jean shorts. What is going on with that? I mean, when I say jean shorts, they are skin tight. Like, can we talk about that for a minute?
You know what? I am anti-jort. I've been on this show for a long time. You guys know that I've defended the cargo short. I can't defend the jort. I think if you want to have sex with, here's my answer to everything that has become a negative. Thanks for the call. Women make decisions here. Women, if you sleep with men in jean shorts, men will wear jean shorts. If you agree right now while listening to me, I'm not going to sleep with a man in jean shorts, the jean short craze will die overnight. Women control everything when it comes to men's fashion choices. If men believe they'll be rewarded for wearing jorts, then they will wear them. If they believe they will be punished, then they will not. Do not sleep with men in jorts. That's a female decision that can make the world a better place. Who's up next?
Colorado.
Colorado, what you got for me?
Hi, Clay. Thanks for taking my call. So, in intramural soccer, I'm 29 years old. My brother and my wife constantly are signing me up and asking me to play. And the problem is that I don't want to play anymore because every single time I play, I either get in a verbal altercation or I get thrown out for arguing with the ref or whatever.
Is it co-ed?
It's usually just bad sportsmanlike conduct.
Is it co-ed?
Yeah, it's co-ed and it's men's. It's both. With my brother, it's usually men's. And then with my wife, it's usually co-ed. But it really doesn't matter. The problem is we're much more competitive when I'm on the field.
Yeah. No, I know that feeling. Look, I appreciate that. I got kicked out of co-ed flag football with my wife, then girlfriend. The first time I met my father-in-law, I got kicked out of a co-ed flag football game for telling a guy that the fat guy that he needed to stop complaining about somebody, a girl, too aggressively grabbing one of his flags. I was kicked out of the game. The guy said, like, hey, she's being way too aggressive. I swear to God this happened. And I said, dude, what are you, like 425? I said, fat ass, she's not going to hurt you. And I got kicked out of the co-ed flag football game. So I understand the concept of talking too much. Also of, like, playing co-ed intramurals is tough anyway because it's like, what am I doing here? Am I trying to win or am I trying to convince these girls that they should sleep with me, right? Because co-ed sports in general makes no sense to me. Like, if it's just a casual game, that's fine. But, like, you don't want to be the guy who gets his shot thrown into the bleachers by a girl because you're not playing that hard, right? So I never know what to do in a co-ed flag football or co-ed sport in general. So I think you can tell your wife, look, I'm just too competitive to play co-ed sports. I'll go watch you. I think that's fine. For the brother-in-law, you just be like, dude, I'm 29. I'm afraid that I'm going to tear my ACL playing soccer. I haven't felt very healthy lately. I don't want to play anymore. At 29, I think you can back out and retire pretty easily. Do we have time for one more? Got to be fast. Who you got?
Fremont.
Fremont, California. What you got?
Hey, check this out, Clay. I got a father-in-law married. He got widower about 10 years ago, remarried 5 years later. He's got a lot of property and assets. The wife that he married now, we don't all get along with her. We're concerned that she's going to take control of assets. He says he has a will that's been notarized. We don't believe that that's actually legit. What's your opinion, and how do we go about this?
Well, so the general rule is going to be when it comes to if you're worried about him dying and her being left behind, the spouse is going to receive, as a general rule, all of his assets. So if you have grandkids or you have children that you believe should get some of his assets, because it's not like this is a second or third wife, whatever it is, it's not as if this is your mom. That can be a big concern. So I don't know how much of an estate he has, but the more assets you have, the more significant asset planning becomes. And this is a common familial issue. You don't want him to die and leave everything to her because then she may end up giving nothing to your grandkids or to your kids. You need to sit him down and be involved in the final planning for his estate. But you need to do it in a non-threatening manner and without alienating her, which means you need to do it with kid gloves very carefully.